Well, welcome back to another of our Sun City Shadow Hills podcasts. I'm Bob Furring. And I've noticed that technology-oriented podcasts that I've done have gotten a great deal of downloads. And so I've raised my antenna to look for more cutting-edge things. And one thing that came to me was this new transportation option that we have in the form of Uber and Lyft. And so I found an Uber driver, and I'd like to give a shout out to his mother, Gail, for lining me up with him. I have Scott Reuter on the phone here. Scott, good afternoon. Welcome.
And good afternoon.
Thank you for giving us some of your time.
Absolutely.
Please start by, telling the backstory. Where did you grow up, and how did you get involved with Uber?
Well, I grew up here. I grew up in Miami, Florida, and then when my mom, Gail, brought us out here with my dad in 1984, we put in Palm Springs and lived here ever since, 32 years. My entry to Uber was friends of mine who were Ubering in and out of the Coachella Fest back at the beginning of April, and how the Uber drivers worked and how it was a perfect opportunity to have your own little entity doing what you want to do and being able to just touch a button and you're done for the day, or turn back on and you're back on and working again. And mm-hmm. So the perfect flexibility for me to work this type of a system and have the kids at home, et cetera, and still be able to attend to my family. So that's pretty much why I did it. And I'm a real estate agent full-time during the day, but Uber is a perfect opportunity for me in the afternoons and when I have time available to just pop on and meet nice people throughout the valley and take them and show them around the valley and drop them off.
Yeah, I thought would be the profile of a driver. I myself, if I hadn't found podcasts, I think I would have become an Uber driver a few days a week, because you get out, you meet people, and it's probably a lot of fun.
It's actually a lot of fun. People are scared. People are a little nervous about it because they think someone might, harm them. But honestly, what's nice about it is I'm providing a service, a shuttle service that's comfortable, air conditioning's on, people love it. They're new here. They're at the hotels. They're at the casinos. Or it's just going out down the street to the bar, and they don't want to drive. They don't want to take that chance of getting that DUI. Mm-hmm. So they spend the $10 to get there. And so you meet a lot of nice people who appreciate the quick service because we can be there quickly due to GPS location. Mm-hmm. So we're never more than 3 or 4 minutes out. And you always get the closest Uber driver. And the nicest thing is that the customer has the option, if they don't like the time frame, they can look for another Uber driver. And on their Uber app, it actually shows all the Uber drivers that are in their area.
So the typical wait time is 3 or 4 minutes?
Yeah, 3 or 4 minutes.
That's awesome. Sometimes, I had no idea it was that fast.
Longer, but that's the whole idea of buying Uber.
My audience here is the GI generation and the baby boom generation.
Right.
We're not used to this part-time employment option. But for lots of young people prefer it this way. They get to work their own hours, and they can do something else. You say you sell real estate.
Right.
They can do something else in addition to Ubering. You told me before that you didn't know who the other drivers are, so I guess we'll just take my thoughts for it. How old are you, by the way, Scott?
I'm 48.
Uh huh. And what were you doing before? Were you doing real estate full time before this?
Yes.
I see. And when did you join Uber?
The end of April.
And how many hours do you work in a typical week?
Well, there's two sides to that story. One is I turn my phone on as soon as I'm done real estate, I turn my phone on as soon as I can get available, and I leave it on. And and I can leave it on until I can leave it on 24 hours a day. And I go when I get called, just like a fire department when someone calls 911. Kind of same idea. Your alarm goes off on your phone. You accept the call and you go, and you go take care of their needs. So in that sense, the amount of hours, I average between 10 to 20 calls a day. In terms of hours of work, it really depends on sometimes it's just going across the street. Other times it's taking them to the airport from the hotel or from whatever hotel they're at. And then a couple times already in my short career with Uber, I've taken one lady to Calabasas, California.
Really?
And I've taken another gentleman to Huntington Beach from Fantasy Springs Casino.
So how does that work? I mean, I'm familiar with Calabasas, and do you only get paid one way, or do you get paid both ways? Yeah. I mean, Calabasas is like 3 hours away.
Right. You only get paid one way, but what most Uber drivers will do is wherever they end up is they'll Uber there, and then they'll take the busy area out there, and then try and catch a ride or you know come back. For me, I've only Ubered in the valley here, you know, and when I get there, I just turn off my phone and I come back. But in other Uber drivers will Uber wherever they end up. They Uber there and then they try and, you know, make their way back. For me, what's interesting is I don't really even know where these people are going until I actually get there.
Yeah.
So when I pop up on scene and they get in the car, then they say, "Are you my driver to Calabasas?" I'm like, "I guess I am." You know, I'm not gonna kick them out of the car.
Yeah.
So it's kind of what Uber wants, because what they don't want to do is have, you know, drivers canceling because it's not a very long trip.
I see.
And there's a lot of people that call Uber just to go across the street.
I see.
Yeah.
And you know, could you give us some idea of the income that a person can expect working, well, say, 40 hours
absolutely.
A week?
Absolutely. I average about maybe 4 or 5 hours of driving time. And in the last, my biggest week with tips was $1,400. My slowest week with tips was $850.
Uh-huh. Now, you say tips. I didn't think that Uber did tips.
Well, Uber does not prohibit you from accepting tips, but they tell the clients that everything is included. So, but if someone says, "Hey, I know Uber doesn't tip, but here you go," we're not allowed. We don't have to say no.
I see. And so there's a rival to Uber called Lyft. Do you drive for them also?
No, I do not at this point. I've been told by many people who know Uber drivers that are doing both. They'll work off two phones and they'll work both ends of it. And when Uber's slow, they'll work it with Lyft or vice versa. I don't know much about Lyft except for what third hand, but I've thought about doing that, you know, as a secondary, opportunity to continue to be busy when Uber's not.
I see. And do you drive your own car?
Yes.
I know Uber's got a program where you can get a car through them, but you've chosen not to do that, huh?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And so how many miles a week do you put on your car?
Well, good question. My first week of doing it, I did a lot of miles, probably in a week, probably, you know, a couple hundred miles, because I didn't know really what to do, so I was just driving around, so, you know, kind of aimlessly, just waiting for my phone to ring and trying to figure out how it all works.
Uh-huh.
Now what I do is I live in Palm Desert. I start there. I go out on a call. If I don't get a call, right away from my location, I start to head back home. Just like if I'm going to the grocery store and I go back home. And if I get a call in between, then I go. If not, I land back at my home. I stay there until another call comes in.
I see.
And then usually by nightfall, by 6:30, when I'm out, I get call, you know, backup call after call going to different locations. And then I always tell myself once that stops, I start to head in the direction of home. and then I stay there until my next call or when I'm ready to, you know, shut it down for the evening and, you know, and relax.
I see. When are your busiest times of the day?
Busiest times of the day have been, so far, usually between the hours of about 8 o'clock in the evening to about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And only because that's when people are going to dinner. And at 12 o'clock is when people are starting to come out from dinner, from the bars, you know, going back to their hotels or going back home, so you know, that kind of thing.
I see. And you were Ubering during Coachella?
I missed the Coachella Fest. I started just after it.
I see. You said that Uber brought in drivers for Coachella, and it still wasn't enough.
Drivers, to be exact, about 400 drivers to make sure that they had plenty of drivers available, and they still didn't have enough.
Mm. So it's sort of a mixed bag because it's good for you.
Right.
You make more money, but the customer,
right.
Of course, I guess, you know, the customer's got a choice between paying a lot of money and walking home.
But the majority of the crowd, they have shuttles available to all different locations throughout the valley, those big buses. And the other side is they do have shuttles to the grocery stores, but it can take you a while to wait for the shuttle and then to bring you back to the store and then wait for the shuttle to take you back. So most people that come to these festivals have money. They're spending a lot of money anyways for homes and rent or hotels. And, you know, if it costs them $40 to go to the grocery store, they don't mind.
Yeah.
And Uber lets you know way ahead of time. When you subscribe or you sign on to request an Uber driver through your app on the phone, it tells you that it's a surge. And surge price would be this. Mm-hmm. And so they have to accept that.
I see. Okay, well, so in conclusion, what would you say to the audience about if someone were thinking about possibly driving for Uber or Lyft? Would you encourage them to go for it?
Absolutely. It's wonderful. You meet nice people from all over the world, Australia, Germany, you name it. People are here visiting. I mean, we are a bedroom community, a resort community that people travel to play golf. And you meet wonderful people. You learn about their lives and where they come from. And they can ask you questions about the valley, and they love the information and where to go, restaurants to go to. And in the meantime, you have fun in your own luxury of your own car and the luxury of your own time doing what you want to do. You don't have to do it for more than an hour. Like my mom, Gail, she only wants to do it from, you know, 9, 10 in the morning till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. She doesn't want to drive at night because she can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the leisure of that meeting wonderful people and knowing that you're providing a good service to people and helping them out, saving them money also because cabs are very expensive. And at the end of the week, you get a little nice paycheck in your bank account.
Okay, and since you brought it up, I'm going to go ahead and mention it. So your mother has decided to become an Uber driver too.
Yes, my mother's 70-some years old, I won't say exactly, and she is a retired nurse, and she has seen what I've been doing the last 6 weeks, and she's very excited, and she just went and got her car inspected today for Uber, and she's going to drive during the daytime, and for her, it'll, you know, that's what she was doing prior when she was taking care of patients at home, taking him to the store, taking him back home, taking him over to the doctor. So for her, it's kind of the same idea, except, you know, now she gets paid just to pick people up and take them to where they want to go. And it's not hard because Uber provides a navigation. So anytime you're not familiar, you just hit navigate and it takes you right there. And so there's no worry about getting lost or not knowing where you're going. It takes you there.
That's awesome. And for the residents here, when they turn on their phone, they've got an Uber driver right in the neighborhood.
That's right. That's the beauty of it. And they can see the Uber driver on the little app. You can actually see the Uber driver and where they're located. And they can follow the Uber driver to the house and see where they're going. I've had people call me and say, Scott, you're going the wrong way. I'm like, really? I'm going the wrong way. I said, I'm going to this house. Oh, no, it must be wrong. You know, does it. It shows them, so they know what to look for. They know you before you get there.
That's awesome. And yeah. I know that you rate the passengers every time, and the passengers rate you.
Yes. And let me give you an explanation real quickly. Uber is big on ratings, and they rate you by 5-star, 4-star, whatever. So we rate the customer based on their friendliness and kindness and, you know, whatever. Most people are very friendly. I give them all 5 stars unless they're being, you know, abrupt or whatever. But in the most part, 99% of people are very, very kind, happy that you came quickly, and happy that you're taking them. For me, I get based, Uber bases my rating, and if you get to a certain point with Uber, they will restrict your driving privileges. If you fall below a certain level.
I see.
Right now, I'm in the top 20% of Uber drivers' ratings with my rating that I have.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. Well, Scott, thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I personally found this fascinating, and I trust my audience will, too. And I hope the next time I use Uber that your mother's the one who picks me up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you for inviting me to be on your show, and it was a pleasure to give you a little information, and I hope all the retired folks out there, you know, decide to come drive Uber and take people around town.
Great.
And I think we all love the valley, and we all love the desert, and like to talk about it.
That's great. Okay. And so that'll wrap up another podcast. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, we'll have a good day.